Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 16th of December, recording at 9:03 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today in stock markets. The Asian stock markets, they were quiet, mostly a tad lower, and although Japan was an exception on the plus side, and it had a strong bounce on the banks. More on them later. Now, the European stock markets closed steady, with gains for the most part of 1% or more. The UK FTSE was had a more modest gain, up 0.65 of 1%. Wall Street, which was a bit firmer when the European markets closed, had a mixed session, up a little bit, fraction on the S&P and NASDAQ, and down 10 points on the Dow. Now, long-dated government bonds, also a quiet day, but prices slightly firmer. And the U.S. dollar seesawed a little bit, although not in a wide range, but it's currently down slightly, 32 ticks. And the euro, having been up against the dollar for most of the day, modestly, but it's currently 145.34. That's down 4 ticks, so virtually unchanged. Well, that did not deter a strong session in precious metals. Gold is back up to 1137.43. Platinum is steady at 1456. Silver has pushed up to 1772. Those are off the highs on the day, but held most of the gains despite the dollar firming a little bit in late trading. Crude oil had another good day here, up $2 at 72.73. Natural gas was a little weaker. The agricultural commodities were mostly stronger, and the industrial metals were all stronger. Some solid gains in the industrial metal sector. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, as you know, we've been saying daily that we're in a corrective phase, and we were in a corrective phase because stock markets had raced ahead so strongly that they did become quite overextended relative to their mean. I'm talking about stock market indices now, and the mean that I'm referring to is represented by the 200-day moving average, which we show quite often on the weekly charts, and which of course you can see anytime you wish in the library. Now, therefore, we've seen, depending on which index, 2 to 3 months of sideways ranging, mostly sideways ranging towards that mean, and this has all the earmarks of a consolidation, which is a healthy process, basically digesting those earlier gains, allowing the fundamentals to catch up somewhat. And I think those fundamentals will catch up in the form of profits that are at least as strong as people are forecasting. They're forecasting some pretty good gains in corporate profits, but I think we'll certainly see that in the first half of the year, given all the productivity increases that have occurred, mainly in the form of layoffs, it must be said, but also as the global economy has bounced back from its partial shutdown in the third quarter of last year. I beg your pardon, the fourth quarter of last year and the third quarter and the first quarter of this year, I repeat that, the partial shutdown in the fourth quarter of 2008 and the first quarter of 2009. Okay, Now, this consolidation, though, is looking increasingly as if it's going to be resolved with an upward break. Owen and I had been wondering, and sometimes out loud in these broadcasts, whether we would see some breaks to the downside during this pause, or whether we would get ranging activity in some markets with a ranging upward bias. And in fact, I opted for all three, and that's what we've seen, in that the weaker stock markets around the world, and they're mainly in the Middle East, Africa, and some of the Balkan countries, and a couple of other of the weaker Eastern European stock markets, they have underperformed. A few of them have even broken beneath their 200-day moving averages on weekly charts, but most are still above those levels, but they've definitely underperformed. Then we have another of just straight lateral ranging markets, and the Europeans are in that category, although some of them are also ranging with an upward bias. Sweden's an example with an upward bias, and Norway in particular recently. But we saw in the last few days, so we've seen some new highs, including today. Germany was certainly one of them, moving to new highs. I haven't checked them all individually, but there'll be several new highs in Europe today. I'm sure Switzerland is also a new high. Brazil has had a rising consolidation overall, though I notice that that's actually down a little bit here today. But the fuller money themes have packed in relatively strongly, but in this consolidation, unfortunately, it hasn't just been the fuller money themes. Wall Street has showed a sideways to slight upward bias in this consolidation. And that's all positive activity, and it suggests to me, I think I used the term Christmas rally in yesterday's broadcast, and it looks to me as if we are going to see a firm end to the year. And that tends to become self-feeding. If markets are steady a few days before the end of the year, it tends to draw some additional money into the market, because investment managers don't want to have the year-end statements go out showing that they're 15 or 20% in cash or whatever. So it looks like we will see that. And then fundamentally, it's certainly justified, because we still have these very accommodative monetary conditions, and we don't have any major scares underway. Now, I said I'd come back to the Japanese banks. Worth looking at that chart. They've shown another massive upward dynamic, and that's the second time we've seen it in recent weeks, and it is also occurring in the region of the March low. So it looks very much to us as if a floor has been put underneath, or is being established just below current levels for the Japanese banks. And that would be good news for the Japanese stock market generally. My view remains that we do need to see a weaker yen in Japan, and I think we will. I think the Japanese authorities have finally gotten around to realizing that they do need to engineer that in their interests. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a better performance from somewhat better relative performance from Japan going forward. Now, looking, and so having said, I think we'll see a sort of a year-end rally, and this is very likely to carry on into the new year. And I think the GDP figures, when they come out, will be quite positive when the fourth quarter GDP figures come out, because they'll be calculated on a year-on-year basis, and they will flatter the actual global economic activity that's taking place in most countries, particularly the OECD countries. As to how stock markets react when we get those, quote, surprise, unquote, strong GDP figures for the fourth quarter will depend on how overbought or oversold we are in the short term. But basically, I would wrap this up by saying this is a bull market for equities, and it's going to continue into the first half of the year. There's a lot of uncertainty about what happens really beyond the second quarter, and fair enough. But let's get there. In the meantime, I want to be long and partake of this continued bull market recovery. And I think there's a lot of liquidity around on the sidelines. And there's a lot of money that is not in equities that could head that way, and I think will head that way over the next couple of years or so. Mainly, there's still some chunky money in the money market funds, and there have been huge purchases in bond funds. And I think the bond fund situation is unsustainable. And I also feel that equities offer the better deal at this stage. Okay, what else? The U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar again. I've mentioned earlier that it has is quite still quite steady in here today, and it has had a good rally, almost a consecutive day rally. It has taken out its progression, its medium-term progression of higher reaction. I beg your pardon. It has taken out its medium-term progression of lower rally highs. In other words, this rally has produced a high above the previous rally high that we saw within the downtrend. So, in other words, it's broken the medium-term downtrend against the European currencies. And that's obviously mainly the euro, but we've also seen similar action against the Norwegian crown and the Swedish krona. So again, a steady dollar performance. It is range bound, but still reasonably steady within that range against the world's other currencies, which are not pegged to the U.S. dollar. I think a lot of short covering has taken place during this move. I think it was triggered by the concern over sovereign debt, and that's Dubai, Greece, Portugal, Spain, Ireland, even the U.K. And there's some understandable concerns there, although I would argue, and I think many other people would as well, that the U.S. sovereign debt position is not in that great shape. But the point was that the dollar had been very, very weak, that it was the carry trade of choice, and we're seeing some short covering. And I think those shorts have been quite substantially reduced by at least 50%. Now, are we going to get the whole tamale here and see a major dollar rally? As we saw, for instance, commencing in July and August of last year. Well, although only a technical rally, it was a major technical rally. I think not, in the sense that I don't see the catalyst for that. The catalyst for that, of course, last year was the meltdown in the global economy and stock markets and corporate bond markets. I certainly don't see a replay happening anytime soon. And to see a replay of that move anytime soon, we'd have to have some sort of exogenous shock to the system, currently unknown. It was of biblical proportions. Well, I just don't expect that. So my feeling is that the rally in the dollar, we've probably seen the best part of it. But more importantly, we will need to see some downward dynamics to provide a clear signal that it is over. The dollar could eventually just sort of roll over and then ease back. But for, as I say, for a clear signal, we would that's easier to interpret, where everybody would get the message very quickly. That would be a downward dynamic. Might that occur? Well, I think there's a good chance that it will in the next few weeks, possibly sooner. Now, meanwhile, give the upside the benefit of the doubt until we see some deterioration in the dollar's current trend. Precious metals, they are less slavishly following the dollar right now, for the very good reason that gold, having seen a correction of 9.5%, and I think a week or so ago, I sort of I'd done a mental calculation of that, always dangerous with me, and felt that it was just over 10%. But when I actually crunched the numbers yesterday, it came out to 9.5%, and that's about what one would expect in terms of a reaction within a good overall trend. Gold had accelerated up to its high, I think, on the 3rd of December, as and that's always a ending of an unspecified duration. I think this is sort of a multi-week consolidation, but I did mention yesterday that the precious metals had lost downward momentum and were oversold on a technical basis. And therefore, what I think we'll see are in the process of seeing is a rally back close to the highs, probably not through the highs that we saw, and we may see it bouncing around. It's a bit of sideways ranging, and I intend to play it accordingly, but from a long position. And I have maintained, as we've all, Owen and I have long maintained, that commodities are best purchased on setbacks. And I did a little of that myself, although I started that process too soon. What else to mention in here? The industrial metals is very good technical action. Generally, here the odd man out recently had been nickel. Before that, it had been tin, and that's very, very steady right now. Copper has been the leader more often than not on the upside, and that's at $3.20 here today. So very firm. Looks good. I think these are going higher. I've got a cracking good report, incidentally, on industrial metals, which I'll be posting as soon as I've wrapped up this broadcast. Crude oil, well, that had become a bit, and we had described it as a bit overstretched on the downside and breaking briefly below the $70 level. Currently 72.69. It's got a bit of breathing space, as I mentioned yesterday. I'm hoping that we don't see crude oil push up through its November, December highs anytime soon, because that would start to create a headwind. Any strong rise, let alone a spike on the upside, would start to create a headwind. But I'm not going to worry about that until or unless I see evidence that that's occurring. But to crude is one of the canaries in the coal mine, as I've referred to previously. The other two being the U.S. dollar and long-dated government bond yields. None of these are a problem for either the world economy, and therefore they're not a problem for global stock markets. Thus, looking for the year-end rally and that firm tone carrying on into the new year. And I think that's pretty much it. Now, I'm not in tomorrow. I have to be away all day, unfortunately. But you'll be in Owen's capable hands, of course. And meanwhile, all the very best to all of you. I'll be back on Friday.